Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming at you with the entire league. Basically, I guess the Isles have only played 20 games, but that essentially counts as 25% of the way through the season. So I'm counting it. We're 25% of the way through the season at least. Figured it was a good time to take a look at some of the early contenders for the trophies around the NHL. Some of them are more obvious than others. Going to be some probably pretty clear runaways for the Hart, I would think, in particular. We'll see how it goes, but where do you want to start, AJ? Do you want to start with one the Avs are likely involved in, or do you want to go elsewhere?
Let's go elsewhere.
All right.
Let's talk Lady Bing.
Okay. Definitely all done. One I had on
let's
the list.
Move on.
Yeah. let's start with the conversation that we had the other day. I mean, I guess you can make an argument that maybe Byram and Newhook are on the very, very outside of this conversation, but realistically, it's not going to be an Av that's going to win the Calder. You're probably looking at a couple of Red Wings in Mason Raymond and Moritz Seider, and then potentially Trevor Zegras over in Anaheim.
Lucas Raymond?
Oh, did I say Mason? Shit.
Mason's been done for a
while
now.
Yeah, he's not played hockey in a minute. It's been also not nearly as good as Lucas Raymond at hockey. So
I mean, Mason had a year or two. For a couple of years, he was a pretty good player.
Lucas has got 22 points already in his rookie year. So,
the Calder this year has... you know, Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider getting a lot of the burn. Trevor Zegras for real, too.
Yeah. Only 1 point behind Raymond. So it's not like he's just doing nothing out here.
My bad.
It does become an interesting conversation, though, because let's start here. Let's start with just Detroit. Who's more important to Detroit's success right now? Is it Raymond or is it Seider? Because, yes, Raymond is the leading scorer out there, but Seider is that defenseman that you talk about.
Long term or?
Both. Let's do now. Both. Let's start right now.
I would say now probably. No, I think they're both probably Seider.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about a top wing just versus a top pairing D. Seider's giving you 22 minutes a night. And he actually has more power play points than Raymond does.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how many power play points does Raymond actually have? I don't know.
Five.
Look. Okay. So that's pretty, pretty limited on the power.
Sider has six.
Well,
all right. Sider leads all rookies with six power play points, and then Raymond Zegras and Jamie Drysdale have five.
All right, so pretty bog standard type stuff there. I guess Drysdale's an interesting conversation because he's the other defenseman kind of in the top 10 in rookie points, right? But
yeah,
Sider, I think, has the upper hand pretty solidly on that.
Yeah, there are really three defensemen in this year's rookie class that you could have an interesting conversation about their futures between Sider, Jamie Drysdale, and Paul Byram.
Yep.
If Byram's healthy, look, Byram
is probably playing right in the middle of the conversation. Yeah,
he was playing 20 minutes a night on one of the better teams in the league, and he had nine
production is very, very good. Yeah,
he had 9 points in 13 games, none on the power play.
Yep, because he doesn't get power play time on this hockey team.
He straight up. They're all even strength points. So that's a thing that I think would have been interesting. You know, maybe there's still a whole season. You know, if Byram ends up just missing 10 or 15 games, then, you know.
Yep.
If he has incredible stats at the end of the year, then maybe he sneaks into the conversation. But it would require some of these guys slowing down a little bit. And I think we're already seeing that. Moritz Seider at one point was point per game. Lucas Raymond
was above it for a bit there. Yeah,
Raymond was above it. I mean, Michael Bunting in Toronto is also kind of weird, and this is where there are two guys. Michael Bunting at 26 years old
as a technical rookie. Yeah,
and then still with rookie eligibility is Alex Nedeljkovic, the goaltender in Detroit.
You're having the rookie
conversation. It's like solid this year.
Yeah.
When you look down the road, how many of these guys are leading their teams? How many of these guys are star players? You know, I think you've got some actual star caliber players here. I wonder, you know, I've never been sold on Lucas Raymond as like the high end wing. I've always thought, good player, not great.
He definitely felt like more of a complimentary piece in his drafts. Yeah.
Definitely. And Zegras, you think, as a 1C point per game, dazzling playmaker.
Definitely like, in his wheelhouse. Yeah.
You like, it's easy to dream on that guy, right? Like, it's easy to dream on that guy. Sider has shown himself as a true
super dynamic defenseman.
A two-way top flight D. He's going to be interesting. Byram, the same thing. Jamie Drysdale's defense has taken a huge step forward from a disaster of a rookie year last year where he really shouldn't have been in the NHL, I think. Yeah, but
probably not.
He, you know, some good, like, there's some really good players. Dawson Mercer has been really fun in New Jersey, but you wonder, a lot of that production has come without Jack Hughes. How much does Hughes either
push his opportunity down the list?
And then you get kind of deeper, like Cole Sillinger's 18 years old and sticking.
I don't think he's gonna win it or anything, but no, he's around.
Anton Lundell, I think, is a quiet candidate for this because he's producing really well on a
Florida team, that's
Florida team
monstrous.
That if he just keeps humming right along, like, that's a guy that's kind of buried early on in this as the scoring slows down. I wonder if his role and the cast that he has around him, I wonder if he could just sort of kind of thread that needle where he just rolls right into the 40, 50 point range all year long. And you know, you get to the end of the year and you're like, huh? Cause like a guy like Tanner Jeannot, you probably don't think, you know, Rem Pitlick, you're like
a bunch of guys that you're like, are they really going to keep this up?
Yeah, like we'll see here. And you know, like quietly, there's two forwards that I really like that I think are interesting dark horses that could continue to score. In Seth Jarvis and Alex Newhook. Seth Jarvis is actually getting big role in Carolina, and as long as that continues, you never know. Jarvis with 9 points in 16 games. And then New Hook, on the season, it's 8 points in 13 games, but it's 8 points in 12 games since his recall.
Yeah. Ignoring opening night.
So,
look, you already know I'm on the Alex Newhook 40 points train. So
yeah, and look, like if Newhook throws up 40 points in like 60 games,
yeah,
you know, 65 games or something, you know, something in that range, he stays healthy, he keeps producing, like it's a
tough stat line to argue against.
That's a pretty impressive rookie year when you're the third line center in Colorado.
Considering the role being played, but
yeah, it's also crazy to me that everybody's preseason favorite Cole Caulfield, one goal in 18 games.
Yeah,
and
part of that is the disaster that is Montreal. But
and I mean shooting 2.8%, like we were talking last night, Nathan MacKinnon. That shit's not going to continue.
Yeah,
that's not going to continue either with Cole Caulfield. He's way too good of a shooter for that to keep up, but. Also, like, you just look at the Colorado-Montreal game last week. Cole Caulfield wasn't really a dangerous threat in that game.
For the most part, yeah.
Anybody really notice him much? I mean, he got the puck once or twice where you were kind of like, and then nothing happened. You're like,
well, I mean, it's interesting to look at because a lot of these teams, you look at Detroit, you look at Anaheim, and everyone's saying, can they keep this up? Can they actually keep going? And it's interesting to try and suss out exactly how much of their success is directly based on their rookies.
Yeah.
Are they going to live and die by their rookies this year or when rookies have a lull like they inevitably do?
Yeah.
Will they be able to keep going?
You know, what happens when some of these shooting percentages come down?
Yeah.
Jonathan Dahlin out in San Jose has 7 goals on 19% shooting. I mentioned Rem Pitlick, by the way, who has 5 goals on 11 shots.
Shoot to casual 44%.
Yeah. 45.5% shooting. So you're talking about some guy like, and Lucas Raymond at the top here. You look, 17% shooter.
Yep. And Raymond, not a guy who was a big goal scorer really throughout his career in Sweden. So,
you know, I'm talking about high shooting percentage. Alex Newhook is shooting 22.7% right now.
Yep. Probably not sustainable.
Yeah. But you also think with Newhook, like his playmaking, you think is going to eventually start to be the thing that really
put some decent finishers around him a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where JT Compher coming back
helps a lot.
Like,
yeah.
It's like a very natural, like Abe Kubel moves down one and you put JT Compher and the shooting percentage king right there next to him, and like it's an obvious, right?
Yep.
You can see where that one works out a little bit. So I think that this is an interesting rookie class. I don't think this is a rookie class that we look back on in a few years and go, wow, 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 wow.
I don't think it's gonna be a long term super banger.
Yeah, especially when you consider that, like Bowen Byram could be the best player that comes out of this rookie class. And, you know, of course, again, barring injury, he probably would have been higher in this conversation.
It would have been in the, probably not winning it or in line to win it, but in the conversation.
Yeah. I saw ESPN did a big awards thing recently, and Byram was had he not been hurt, he would have been part of this because his play when he's been healthy this year. It's just been too good.
All right.
Been too good.
I want to get to this really quick, too. The Hart Trophy. Can Ovechkin steal it away from the Edmonton boys? Is it possible?
So I think the thing that that it's going to require is those votes, they cannibalize each other.
A little bit of the same MacKinnon Rantanen thing as we saw here in Colorado a few years ago.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
But I guess less that and more, you know, they're both stealing each other's votes, right?
Yeah, like they really MacKinnon all the way down to 2.4%. I was just thinking, I wanted to check it. It's funny because it's like he just can't drop significantly more in one game.
You just can't go that much lower.
Yeah, exactly. he needs 100 more shots on goal without a goal for him to really like get into the ones, you know. Anyway, sorry. Can Ovechkin continue this pace? Like Ovechkin over his career, obviously 20 goals in 26 games. Had you told anybody before the season Ovechkin would have 20 goals in 26 games, we'd all be like,
it's possible. Right. Yeah, he could do that. It's Ovi.
So it's Ovi then, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
It's the 21 assists.
Yeah.
Because without looking, what do you think his career high in assists is?
Like 40.
Okay, it's actually 59.
I should have known.
He's broken 54 times. The most recent time that it happened was 2010-2011.
So, has not been an assist guy in his majority of his career.
Yeah, the last 3 years, 19 assists, 18 assists, 38 assists, not counting this year.
Okay, so.
So,
how sustainable is that really?
Right, for him to have more assists than goals is the upset here. Plus, he's shooting 18%, which, any idea what Ovi is as a career shooter? I'm actually surprised by this number.
Like 12, 13.
12.8.
Yeah.
Nailed it. So him shooting 18%, that's high for him.
Yep. And that's not, he's still probably the greatest goal scorer ever, right?
Yeah. But
when you're Alex Ovechkin, your volume of shots just makes it impossible to remain that high of a shooting percentage. Like
he has 111 shots on goal right now.
21 games or whatever.
26 games.
26 games. Yeah, that's a few shots. That you're averaging not quite 5 shots a game. That's insane.
Yeah, 4.2.
Yeah, that's
so the real question, can Ovi keep that up?
Yep.
Because if he does, I think there's going to be a real push for Ovi.
Yep.
He's the old guy, sentimental thing. Everybody gets voter fatigue voting for the two Edmonton guys who have each already won hearts.
Ovi's likely to pass a couple more dudes on the all-time goals list this year if he keeps up that pace too. So
yeah, like there's a lot of I think a lot of non-hockey reasons would push Ovi into that conversation. For me, I'm like, the dumbest thing in the world is telling me that Leon Draisaitl is the most valuable player in the world.
When he's got
Connor McDavid on his fucking team and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like you've got two of the three best, but it's not the best player award. The players have an award for that called the Ted Lindsay that they vote on.
You know how the voting goes.
Yeah. But I'm saying if you want to look at the other top scorers, Ovechkin is clearly comically valuable to Washington. Nazem Kadri, how valuable has he been to Colorado so far?
Unfathomably.
With no Nathan MacKinnon, he basically reproduced Nathan MacKinnon's ideal stat line. Just became Nathan MacKinnon when MacKinnon was out.
Yep, pretty much.
You know, I mean, Kirill Kaprizov, fifth in the NHL in scoring. It's 29 points in 24 games. How important is that guy to Minnesota? You take that guy out of there, you take Kadri out of Colorado. Colorado's probably still pretty good because there's a guy like Cale Makar. Take Kaprizov off of Minnesota. They're
nobody.
Deep trouble.
Yep.
So when you talk about the idea of an MVP, and this is one of the things that's always been interesting about an MVP conversation, because it's most valuable player, and valuable is a
relative term.
Yeah. Different. It's a moving target, and it changes for every single person.
Yep.
You know, you look at Troy Terry in Anaheim. How valuable has that guy been? Jake Guentzel is at a point per game and helped Pittsburgh survive no Sidney Crosby. They still don't have Malkin.
So
But
what an actual MVP is hard to nail down, but it's just not the reality right. of the award.
So it's almost like the hockey world should be rooting for Ovi to keep this up so that we have an excuse not to give it to a goddamn Oiler again.
I'm here for it.
And it's not that those guys aren't incredible. It's that the idea that one of them is more valuable than the other when, like, their value clearly goes through the roof together.
Yeah.
So that's a look. Keep going, Ovi. Just keep going so we have the excuses. Right now, I'd give it to Ovi.
I would too, personally, but
I'm also spiteful like that, and I don't want Leon Draisaitl to win another thing the rest of his goddamn career. Unless it's like Richard's. Like those are automatic, like whatever.
That just means you scored the most. Like
yeah, there's like, no if he ends up winning that, like you earned that. Like you just outscored it, but that's fine. That's cool.
All right. Well, maybe have a Breck brew before you vote, and then you can convince yourself that Ovi's worth voting for, or at least not to vote for McDavid. Hit up Breckenridge Brewery, get whatever beers you like. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the DNVR bar, or find them at your local liquor store with the Breck Beer Locator online. You can also find their Good Company hard seltzers if you're more of a seltzer person. They're absolutely delicious. And if you need a little bit of extra beer money, the Ball Corporation is currently hiring. People are what make Ball special. People at every level come into work each day and give 100% to accomplish the goals. Our production techs are the front line in our can-making operations. They directly impact the volume of production we run, the quality of the production we run, and are integral to our operations. Production technicians are also important because as their skills grow, they are able to move into even more mechanical roles. So Ball is hiring some frontline technicians. Their salaries start at over $27 an hour. So you can either text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden to get your application now with the Ball Corporation. They're a great company. I already mentioned the living wage that they pay. They give insurance, they give benefits, they give all of this great stuff. And even if you don't have a great resume, they can offer classes to you to help get your resume filled out. So check out Ball Corporation today. Again, go to jobs.ball.com to see their job offerings. And now is a great time to get a DNVR membership. I know people aren't super happy in Nuggets and Broncos land right now, but we still got all the coverage in the world, dude, on those teams.
How awful do you feel for the Nuggets?
Oh, right. They just cannot stay healthy, man.
I mean, they can't catch a break, dude. Even Jokic has an injured wrist.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal out there right now.
It's been painful.
Well, and it's, you know, obviously the Avs have had a lot of injuries too, but with just how few players a basketball team has, you lose a guy like Jokic for a little while and it's devastating. Like,
well, it's like no Jamal Murray, right? And then you end up MPJ's with even
done for the year.
MPJ has serious, like,
career ending potential injury. And
like, you just never know how a guy responds to something like that. And then end up with like PJ Dozier.
Yep.
You know, like a key reserve that they need to be solid. Cause it's like that's a guy they pulled off the street and developed and like turned into a good player. And now he's hurt.
You get dudes like Jamichael Green starting for you. And it's obvious that he just can't do that.
it's crazy how bad he is.
He's not good, but a podcast for a different day, which is why you should get a DNVR membership so you can go check out everything all the Nuggets do. Of course, all the stuff we do as well. We have post-game pieces. We have grades. We have prospect portfolio, should be coming out either later today or tomorrow for me, that you can check up on all the Avs prospects. Bunch of stuff. So you can get all that and a free shirt when you get an annual membership, plus access to the DNVR lounge, big beers at the DNVR bar, all sorts of awesome stuff. So yeah, get that DNVR membership. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo and AJ coming at you. Where do you want to go next? You want to go defensemen or goalies, AJ?
Goalies.
All right. So this one, I really...
What about them? Defensemen.
Oh, I see.
I'm just kidding.
I don't have a great feel for the top goalie class this year. I know Jack Campbell has been great out in Toronto, but how much of that is the team in front of him that's just murdering people?
It's crazy because we've been talking about how high scoring the NHL is, and then you've got some of these goaltender performances that are just insane.
Dominating the league, yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple goalies under 2 goals against per game. That includes Campbell. I think you said Markstrom has, what, 5 shutouts this year?
Yep.
So they out there somewhere. Quality goaltending. Not in spades, but it's out there. Who you got, AJ? Who you got taking it home?
I think there's really 3 guys that have stood out to me so far.
Okay.
And that's Campbell, Shesterkin, and Markstrom.
All right.
With serious bro nods to Freddie Anderson and Tristan Jarry.
Okay. Look, I get it. A lot of goaltending stats, and the award is often somewhat at least going to be a team stat. I don't think it's any coincidence that you're talking about goaltenders from teams that are dominating, like Toronto and Carolina.
Well,
like,
and it's no coincidence that when a team has a goaltender that's dominating, they're winning. They tie into each other.
Yep, definitely.
It's like when you look at I saw somebody passing around one of the Jay Fresh cards for the team for the Avs last night.
Yep.
And it's like the things that the Avs are bad at: goals against, PK, goaltending.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so weird that all of those 3 things are wrapped up together, that they directly correlate together.
Yeah. Definitely not shocking to hear that those 3 things all move up and down together. So is it Jack Campbell in the lead right now, or do you think Markstrom can pip him a little bit? I know you love Shesterkin, but for me, I don't think he's quite on the same
level. Well, and Shesterkin just got hurt, so he's gonna lose ground there. But I think Campbell being, I truly think that there is an extra element to succeeding as a Maple Leaf.
Sure.
That the environment there, you have a batshit crazy fan base that, just based on how they're treating Neil Pionk's concussion news today, I said this on Twitter, but I had no idea that there were so many fans in that fan base that ironed their clothes while wearing them.
It's not just the fan base too, right? The media there is rabid.
And it's like a hotbed of an environment, right? Like it's a really difficult place to succeed, and he's succeeding at an insanely high level.
Yep.
So I think I would probably go with Campbell because the day-to-day living there, it's not that New York is not a tough media environment for the Rangers, because come on. But Toronto is just a little bit different, and I think Campbell's just been a little bit better, and I would probably lean Campbell for right now. But also, like, special shout out to Markstrom. I mean, 5 shutouts in 19 games.
Yeah, that's impressive to say the least. Any nod to, I saw Chant talking about this a little bit. There's a couple of guys, honestly, if you wanted to get in the conversation about Vladar and Ottinger. Obviously, they don't have the games played to really be in the conversation, but
those are we'll see.
Yeah, sure.
But with Vladar, that's a backup job.
Yep.
He's backing up Markstrom. No. with Markstrom being
taking all of the good clear teams.
The clear cut starter and succeeding at an absurdly high level. Vladar, it looks like Boston might have just given up on a dude, maybe a touch too soon, or they just couldn't keep him, or whatever it ended up being. But hey, he's off to a great start and good for him. So is Villehuso. So we'll see.
The dream, bud.
With Ottinger, again, you're talking about a guy with 6 starts.
Yeah, I understand the games played isn't there, but in the games they've gotten, they've been very, very good.
Yeah, definitely. But we've seen, if you isolate the 6 best games that any goaltender plays, you could put up some those guys probably have insane stats
for sure.
So those are we need to see some more there. There's just more. You just need to see more.
Fair enough.
So for me, it's a we'll see. You know, like, yeah, Swayman has been good. Vladar has been better, but Swayman has double the games. Kind of my point right now.
Yep.
So, you know, right now it's look, if Jake Ottinger continues to throw up a 950 and he takes over Dallas' starting job, he'll win the Vezina. That's just what's up. If he ends up with 45 games played and has a 950 save percentage, he wins the Vezina. That's just what's up.
So, who wins the ESPY for save of the year, and why is it Eric Johnson last night?
Oh, that was a dope play, but it wasn't that dope.
I know. It's not like it was a particularly big moment or anything either.
Well, and it wasn't like we've seen every year there are a handful of saves where a goaltender throws a stick out and gets a puck in midair.
Yeah.
Where you have like the Grubauer left pad lift, you know, like there are some like nuts saves along the way, and EJ just swatted a puck out of the air, like just did the same thing that Tyson Jost did in that Arizona game, except there wasn't a man that he was also hitting at the same time.
Eddie, I'm assuming the heat maps you're talking about are the Hockey Viz heat maps, yeah, which
from Micah.
Go check out Micah's stuff. His stuff is amazing, worth every penny that I pay him to get on that hockey info.
Dude, I waste a lot of time just looking at that stuff.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah, we can just go here right now. Go ahead and hit yourself up with Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in the business for a very long time and can help you navigate the ridiculous waters that are the housing market in Colorado right now. You can visit them at dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get a free consultation as well as your chance to win some free DNVR merch, or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Even if you already own your home, something to keep in mind is that with prices going up, it's creating natural equity in your home. So if you have mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that and make the bubble work for you. Of course, if you're a new home buyer, Mike is a certified financial planner, so he can look at your entire financial picture to make sure you're getting the right home loan and not getting screwed over by a bank. It's pretty much not a good thing. Don't trust the banks. Hashtag I'm a communist or something. I don't know.
I think we were fascists.
Was it fascist? Is that the one?
I think that's what we were called, as fascists.
All right. Well, either way, go to DNVR Mortgage, get hooked up with Mike and Virginia, and get yourself the right home loan for you. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. Then you can hit up Hassel Cattle Company, get yourself some delicious meats to eat in your new home. Got the Wagyu beef burger, which everyone down at the bar loves. You can try it there if you're not sure. Everyone I've said to try it says I undersell it, even though I say it's the best thing ever. So go get it, go eat it, enjoy it. For the holidays right now, you can get 15% off when you use code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. You can get all sorts of steaks, your basic New York strips, sirloins, stuff like that. But you can also get bone-in ribeyes or tomahawk steaks or whatever your mind can imagine. They're all amazing and delicious. Check them out today at hasslecattlecompany.com. And as always, hit up DraftKings Sportsbook. Maybe you want to make a little bit of extra cash. If you want to have fun with DraftKings Sportsbook, sign up for a new account with code DNVR right now. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football team, and you win when that team doesn't get shut out. If they score a single point, you win $100. And there's been one shutout this year in the NFL, I think. I know the Seahawks got shut out once. I don't think there's been any other shutouts. So your odds
in the NFL?
Like, yeah.
What? The Broncos have a shutout.
Do they?
Yeah. Don't they have two?
I don't think they
just
have
the one.
Anyway, my
point, definitely have one.
I believe you. But my point being, it's like a 98% chance, and just don't bet on a terrible football team and you'll get a point. And that wins you $100 in free bets on DraftKings. With that $100, you can go bet on whatever you want. You can bet on Lucas Raymond to win the Calder. You can bet on whichever goalie you prefer to win that thing. You can put all your money on Ovi to win the Hart. So jump on it. Get your $100 in free bets. Be sure to use that DNVR code when you sign up for a new account with DraftKings Sportsbook. And even if you have an account, they have an amazing odds boost every single day. So be sure to check them out. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR. Go ahead.
If either team scores, you win $100.
Oh, either team scores?
Yes, it doesn't have to be.
So that's literally happened in every game in the history of time.
Yes, that's why Ryan famously tells people that he'll give them $1 million if it doesn't hit, which I still don't feel comfortable with, just in case. You never know.
It could
Does RK have $1 million to give away?
No, he doesn't have $1 million to give.
Then this is meaningless.
He said maybe stock in the company eventually. I know. I just don't like it, but that you're guaranteed to win pretty much.
Yeah. I think as long as the NFL has existed, I don't think a game has ended 0-0. So
Ryan says it will be paid out in 75 installments in 75 years.
that's still like
how Colorado lottery of him.
Yeah. anyway, yeah, go over there. Have some fun on DraftKings. They're an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Be sure to check out all of our dope content on YouTube. Be sure to like and subscribe here. If you're not, you can catch us every time we go live. It's a minimum 5 days a week based on the Avs hockey schedule in the upcoming days. Probably going to see us 6 times a week fairly regularly, depending on how many days we want to take off. So we're here all the time doing stuff on YouTube. Of course, you can check out my reviews, all sorts of good stuff.
Irony being that next week we're taking Monday and Wednesday off.
Yeah. All right. So we're taking a little bit of time. There'll still be 5 shows that week, though.
Yeah. Like, it's the way that the schedule sets up.
Yeah. We're live Sunday and Saturday next week. So yeah.
Instead of doing all 7 days, having the next Sunday off and then having the Avs play 3 games in 4 days. No.
As much as I would love to do 13 shows in 14 days.
Yeah. I mean, I like the challenge of it, but I also know the effect of it. So it's like,
I think I'd be more up for it if I was confident that the Avs would win a game 3-2 and not 8-4. But
yeah,
but the Avs are making a lot of work for me lately. So it is what it is. Anyway, YouTube, we make a bunch of great content for all of the beats. So if you're not liked and subscribed, you're doing it wrong. That's all I'm saying. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, and I think this is the big conversation of the show. The Norris Trophy, AJ. Is Cale Makar in the lead for this thing? Victor Hedman has been scoring a lot. Obviously, Adam Fox is up there. You have Aaron Ekblad, who has quietly risen towards the top of production for defensemen, too. There's a lot of quality defensemen going on, at least offensively. I'm curious how the advanced statistics and that defensive side of the game play in here.
I am also curious.
Pull up Matt's stat trick.
I mean, I haven't gone through all of these just because 20 games into the season, I'm not blowing 3 hours of my time.
For sure. For numbers that are going to continue to change drastically. Yeah,
for a fake thing.
Well, let's start with this. Cale Makar has scored the most goals of any defenseman by a significant margin.
Yeah, Ekblad has 8.
That is the second most. Makar now with 11 after last night. So he's Ekblad has 8. The puck in the net.
Yossi has 7, and then there's a grip of dudes with 6, and then you just keep going down the line.
Yep.
But Makar at 22 points is tied for 5th with Seth Jones, but with 19 games played, he's at 1.16 points per game, which leads Hedman and Fox.
Yep. At points per game metrics, he is the top defenseman.
Yep. And he has 13 even strength points versus 9 power play points.
Yep.
Adam Fox has 14 even strength points, 10 power play points, and a shorthanded point.
Good for him.
So I also think that that shorthanded point is probably where, like, that's not what is going to, like, push the thing to Adam Fox, but that Adam Fox plays the PK.
Sure. Makar certainly does not play any PK time.
Yeah.
The other conversation surrounding Makar specifically, yes, he may lead in these point per game metrics, but health. Makar really hasn't missed that many games this year.
He really hasn't, but, you know, can Keon Makar just play 30 straight games?
Right. You would like to see him, I'm not going to say play a full 82-game season or anything like that, but you would certainly like to see him get to 75.
I mean, 70.
Sure.
I'm good with 70, man.
All right. Certainly, if you're a longtime watcher of the pod, you know that availability is a skill.
Yep. We talk about it a lot.
Makar, more available than Bowen Byram so far this year. So, certainly got that going for him. And I don't think there are any questions about who the best defender is in Colorado. I know AJ may make an argument for Devon Taves, but...
Yeah, I mean, Taves is more of like a... He's your steady Eddie, right? He's your right. glue guy that just gets you... That gets you through it. You yep. know, that like he... It doesn't matter what the lineup is around him. He plays at a very, very high level every single game. He brings the A game or the B plus game. It has been his bad game so far this year.
Yep.
There's no C game there. He's just Taves is just and the thing with a guy like Cale Makar is that when he's got the A plus game, his A plus is just better than everybody else's. It's just a higher A plus game than everybody else's. It's just that's the thing, and he doesn't always get to it. You could even argue he doesn't get to it all that often, but
when he does,
they win, and it's because he just
was the man.
Dominates.
Yep.
So, you know, you need a Devon Taves to kind of balance you out, but. You know, with Makar, just talking about roles here, he averages 42 seconds of shorthanded time on ice per game. And that's, you know, he's played 13:27 of shorthanded.
So it's not like a massive amount of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a regular role for him.
Yep.
It's just a thing. He's just not that dude. And then you look at the competition, you know, you look at Victor Hedman and how he does, you know, you look Adam Fox, everybody, it's really just Adam Fox that everybody obsesses about.
Yeah.
Adam Fox plays 2 minutes of shorthanded time per game.
It's just something that he has in his pocket that Cale Makar doesn't.
Yeah. It's the role that they're giving him. And he plays 3 minutes of power play time, 2 minutes of shorthanded time. He produces with all of it. And he does a great job in all of the roles. Adam Fox is excellent.
But so, is he better than Cale Makar?
I think that's just a cup of tea. You know, yeah. that's your which style of player do you prefer? Because again, when Cale Makar is at his best, like
no one can touch him for sure.
Yeah. Adam Fox just isn't that good.
Yep.
You know, like he's and when I say he's just not that good, I mean he's not as good as Makar at his best. I'm not saying Adam Fox is just not that good.
Got you.
Just that he's just not.
He's just not a transcendent talent like Cale Makar is capable of being. So, honestly, if we're picking today, you could give it to any of these dudes. Hedman, Fox, Makar, Ekblad.
Yeah, Ekblad is the one that I think is... Roman Josi is involved in this right now, and it's like...
Sure.
I've never really been a... big Roman Josi guy. I just anecdotally, I don't watch a lot of Nashville because I don't like the desire to claw my eyes out. But anecdotally, I don't think he's great defensively.
Yeah.
And analytically, he's fine defensively. Like, he's not special. But then you get into the analytics of it, that's where Adam Fox takes on. He gets to a different level.
Sure.
You know, Cale Makar drives the hell out of some play, but so does Adam Fox, and Adam Fox's defensive metrics are a whole lot better. I mean, a whole lot better. So, you know.
Well,
I think it's just going to continue to be a race between, I mean, these two guys are going to be in it. It's so funny.
Year after year. Yeah.
You remember when it was Quinn Hughes was the truth and he was gone. The guy, and now nobody even talks about him. You know, obviously he's on between these three guys. He's on by far the worst team. Yeah. In by far the worst organization.
Yeah.
The one that has no fucking idea what it's
rudderless.
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he's got some disadvantages there that are totally out of his control. But the reality is that away from Chris Tanev, Quinn Hughes has been a bad defender.
Yep. The defensive side. Brilliant. That everyone was so high on.
Exactly.
The first year. Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is sustainable. This is going to be, you know, Quinn Hughes is this and Quinn Hughes is that. And then he gets away from Chris Tanev, and all of a sudden it was just like, oh, well, you know.
If the season ended today, would Taze be in the top 10 for Norris? I think the games he missed probably keeps him out of that just because of the sample size being so small. But he might be close.
So Taze is interesting because the defense is really, really good.
Yeah, obviously.
He gets overshadowed by Makar because Makar is just brilliant, right? But Devon Taves has 15 points in 13 games.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from Taves. I'm just saying
you're right.
If he's played 13 games, like
the season ended today. Yes.
Yeah.
He would have half the games played of some of these other guys.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the exciting thing about this conversation is there's anywhere from 55 to 60 games left for these hockey teams. So,
the thing about Taves versus these other guys is that his defense is much better. His defense is legitimately elite, but he doesn't drive offense. He produces offense, but he doesn't actually drive play.
Yeah.
He's not the guy flying up out of the zone with the puck driving. His
production
play
comes from plays set up in the offensive zone where he's getting pucks on net from the point or cutting to the back door, things like that.
Yeah, like he's got four goals. He's shooting 14%. You know, if you look at previously in his career, his rookie year, he had 5 goals in 48 games. He's got 4 goals in 13 games right now. The year after that, he had 6 goals in 68 games. So fact that he had 11 goals his first 2 years in the NHL and he has 13 goals in 2 partial seasons. Not even 2 partial seasons. You're talking 53 games and 13 games. So 66 games. He has 13
full
goals.
Real season. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got 66 games played. And he's sitting on 46 points.
Yeah.
Since getting to Colorado. Devon Taves has found a totally different level in Denver. He was great for the Islanders. And his offense has exploded to a different level in Denver. And his defense has remained top shelf. So you want to make an argument for a dark horse guy that should be getting Norris conversation, it would be him, in my opinion. Because his all of his fancy stats, all of the counting stats, everything is upper echelon. The only thing that he doesn't have going for him right now is the games played.
Yep. I'm fair with that.
You miss assessment. A month of the season, that's just life.
Ask again in March and it could be a totally different conversation.
If Devon Taves is not a serious candidate for Team Canada, they're fucking stupid.
Yep.
I guarantee you they take at least one player who's not as good as Devon Taves.
All right. Well, I think that more or less wraps up all the major awards. Is there any other ones you really wanted to touch on, AJ?
No, I mean, like the goal scoring one. The Rocket Retard, like that, that will be a fun race to follow
between Dry and Ovi.
Yeah, and do they keep it up?
Yeah,
do they continue?
Can they actually push for 60?
Yeah, can a dark horse like Kyle Connor break into that?
Start pick up a hat trick or two and get in. Yeah,
yeah, like you never. It's a long season, so. Yeah. Yeah, if they take Drew Doughty, they'd get what they deserve. He just doesn't have it. I mean, Team Canada has too many options. I don't think Drew Doughty wouldn't make Team USA's defense.
Yeah, Drew Doughty's kind of not good anymore.
Like, he bounced back up off the floor, right?
For a while.
He rebounded from the... Oh my God, this guy's actually brutal.
Is his career over level? Yeah, he's not that bad, but.
Yeah, but it's not, no.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, it's not as bad as I initially thought. And like in the 8 games he's played this year, it's actually been very good. But I would have to look at the defensive metrics also to see. And he's shooting 14% this year, which isn't going to last. So, yeah. It's. Drew Doughty is what, 32 also now?
I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know. Anyway, not the conversation for the show today. Maybe for another day when we start talking more Olympic stuff, which isn't that far off, assuming, well, we'll be talking about it either way, but, you know, hopefully the NHL actually goes.
It would help.
Okay. I guess we're going to get out of here for the day then. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, hanging out in the chat. We appreciate all of you. We hope to see you again tomorrow. We got pregame, we got postgame. You know the drill. We'll be there all around the game. Pregame at 4:30 Mountain. So the last early game of this road trip should be a fun one. Adam Fox versus Cale Makar.
So nice, man.
Right? Getting home before 10 o'clock.
The early games. Great. Just as a quick thing about tomorrow, I know we have a pregame and stuff that we'll do tomorrow, but 2-1-1 on the road trip. Obviously, if they win, this is a huge success. But if they lose, it's
not too stymied about it. Yeah,
a 2-2-1 where you play certainly four of the games, maybe even five of the games without either of your top two goalies.
Yeah, missing top two goalies, you were missing Makar and Kadri for a random game in there. Like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff going on, and it's also the 5-game road trip that is the full. Swing across Canada and into the East Coast.
Yeah. And 5-game road trips. I say it all the time, but the hardest one of these things to win is
game 5.
It's the 5th game. And then your first game back is actually teams.
That's the trap game. Yeah.
Yep. Teams are coming off of their teams coming off long road trips. Their first game at home, their winning percentages are really low.
Yep. So, be sure to tune in tomorrow, but until then, we will talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.